Good evening. It's a great joy and a privilege to be with you tonight and to worship in your midst. Let's open God's word in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. The scripture reading this evening is from Luke, chapter 10, and verses 25 through 37. This is God's holy, infallible word. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." May the Lord add his blessing to his word tonight. In 2020, at the end of it, maybe October, late October, early November, me and my wife were strongly hit by COVID. It was not easy on us, especially on my wife. She hardly made it. And during that time when I was first hit, I thought, well, it's just a cold and I'll be fine. I tried to work. I tried to continue my studies, to read, to write. But I couldn't. It was really bad. The only thing that I was able to do was to watch some documentaries. I love documentaries. And I chose a documentary on World War II with real footages. I've never seen this before. About 12, 13 episodes showing a step by step what was going on in the World War II with commentators explaining what was happening. But then I was struck by one episode. And this episode was only discussing the concentration camps, what the Nazis did to the Jews in the war. And it was horrifying. While I was watching, I just couldn't stop my tears. And this documentary, they were interviewing real survivors from these concentration camps, how they were taken with their families, and how they described exactly what was going on with them, and how their families were divided, were torn apart, where they would be waiting for their execution every minute. I don't want to go to more details about what happened and how it was described. But the amount of hatred that was expressed in these events was unbelievable. But then one of the commentators on the documentary kept talking and said it was not just the Nazis against the Jews. And it was a big surprise for me that the reason for this war in which millions died was not just power and wealth. It was hatred. Special races or certain races would hate other races. The German would hate the Jews, but not only the Jews, they hate people in Eastern Europe, despised them. The Japanese hated the Americans. They are consumerists. We don't like them. We want to get rid of them. And the Americans, they hated the Japanese. These yellow devils. We want to get rid of them. And the commentator said, there is something very strange in the human heart. It seems so. He always wants to get rid of those who are different from him. He can't stand to live with someone who's different, someone who may look different, or from different ethnicity, or different background. He wants to eliminate those who are different, to get rid of them. So certain groups would fight with certain groups just to get rid of them. And when they are done, they would start looking within themselves and make new divisions. So in the beginning, it was a country against a country. But then in one country, we'll see who is like me and we'll gather together and see who is different. And let's fight till we eliminate them, till we get rid of them. And when we are done, we start to look inside. Inside our group. It's endless. It will continue till I am alone. In fact, when there were only two brothers, one of them killed the other. It's amazing, amazing how human beings struggle to live with those who are different and even try to eliminate them if they got the chance. We always like those who look like us, who dress like us, who talk like us, who love what we love, who hate what we hate. Even with sports. See how people who would be voting or cheering for certain club or certain team, what would they do with the other fans of the other team? They would hit each other, curse each other, and at some points, they kill each other for a sport. For a sport. Why would people do this? Why do we do this? Well, there are many reasons. Sin would be at the heart of it. Sin would be at the heart of it. Being self-centered. It's me. I want only me being there. I want to be at the center of this universe. And imagine people, everyone would think that I am the center of the universe. I am the most important person in this universe. What would he do with another person who also thinks that he's the most important person in the universe, and they're gathering together? What would they do to each other? In the best case scenario, they will try to make use of each other to satisfy their own self-centeredness. This is what human beings are. This is what it means to be a sinner, self-centered, not able to love the other. One of the reasons we're doing this, because we evaluate human beings from a human perspective, from our perspective, not from God's perspective. Well, we would say, I would love this race, but not that race. This race is more valuable. I would respect this kind of race, this color. Or I would respect this gender more. Some people would evaluate others according to their productivity. Well, if you are productive, if you are helpful, if you have lots of gifts, if you can help the community, if you can help the church, if you can do valuable things, we like you. You are needed. You are valued. But if your productivity is not good enough, you become a burden. And we would rather get rid of you. Hitler himself was like that. He would try to get rid of all those who are sick, those with disabilities. Why would we need them? They are consuming our resources. Let's get rid of them. The marketplace is doing with people in this way. If they have an employee, if you are productive, you are needed. If you are not, you're worth nothing. This is how the world would treat people. But this is not God's view of people, of man. We were just thinking Psalm 8 and reading Psalm 8 and about the dignity of man. Not because of his color or his race or his productivity, but what gives the man his dignity is who he is, being created in the image of God. And this is nothing, this is something that cannot change. Every man, every person in this room, every person you would ever meet, every human being has the same dignity, which is being created in the image of God, bearing his own image. This is something that you cannot increase or decrease. No matter your race, your gender, your abilities, your gifts, your social standards. Your certificates, your education. Every single person is in the image of God. Even those who are not Christians. Many times we forgot this. They are in the image of God, bearing his own image, having the same dignity. How hard it is for us to think this way. Many times we forgot this reality. The book of James tells us that sometimes we do something very contradicting. We would praise the Lord with our tongues. We would sing like what we were singing, like what we were doing just a few minutes ago. And then we curse those who are created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. This is inconsistent. Every time you curse a person as if you are cursing God himself. He's in the image of God. He's representing God. And now, in the light of what we have seen, that man is created in the image of God, deserve all dignity. And this is the way we should see him. Let's read these verses again, Luke chapter 10, and see what this lawyer was asking about. We'll see a very bad question in these verses. Very, very bad question. But before going to this bad question, let's see how the story began. First of all, this guy is a lawyer. And the word lawyer means an expert in the law. An expert in the Pentateuch, in the Old Testament, in the law of Moses. He stood to put him to test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered him, "What is written in the law? You read it. You know it. You are a lawyer. You are an expert." And because he's an expert, he answered right. He knew it. You shall love your Lord, the Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He answered from the book of Deuteronomy. He answered from the book of Leviticus. He knew the scripture. And Jesus said, well done. Do that. You know the law. And here comes the very obnoxious question. Bad question. Who is my neighbor? But before going to this question, see what this guy is saying. Luke is telling us he was desiring to justify himself. And what does this mean? He wanted to give himself a reason not to love his neighbor or not to love. Who is my neighbor? Every single group of people, every single person, well, we can negotiate it. Is he a neighbor? If he's a neighbor, I will love him. But is he a neighbor? What is a neighbor? He wanted to bring God's standard little lower, to limit the extent of this law, and therefore limit his responsibility. He wanted to justify himself. Who is my neighbor? He was seeking an excuse not to love. And then Christ answered him with this very famous parable, the good Samaritan. We see in the beginning in this parable two religious people, a priest and a Levi. They are religious. Were in Jerusalem, going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This was the way. This means that they finished their religious deeds, their prayers. They were going down, but no love in their heart. If you read what they have done, both of them, they would pass by on the other side. They would see the guy between dead and alive and pass by. Some commentators, some people would say, well, maybe they didn't want to touch him because maybe he's dead, and they did not want to defile themselves. But the story does not go this way. The story shows us that they had no excuse. In fact, they were not going to Jerusalem. They just get out of Jerusalem. They finished the religious acts. But they just didn't care. Because what were they doing was just external acts. Not out of love. Not for God, not for the neighbor. Because they have seen someone created in the image of God and they didn't care. They only care about themselves. They just looked, came to the place, they saw him, and pass by to the other side. What an action. But a Samaritan. As he journeyed, he came to where he was. And when he saw him, listen to this, he had compassion. He had compassion. He loved him. He didn't know who this man is, but he's in need. He's dying. He didn't try to help him so that he would show the others that I'm a good person. He was alone. No hypocrisy. Many people would do good things because they know people are watching. But if they are alone, if they are by themselves, if they are in this road alone, and no one sees them, they won't bother. It's not there. It's not in their heart. But this guy was alone, and he had compassion. Some people would be alone and would help others, would do good things to others, would do good deeds. Maybe they would not be expecting the others to pay them back, but they know that God is watching, and they were doing this as if they are saying, see, I've done these good things. I've helped him. I've given him. Now, I'm expecting something. This was not his motive. He had compassion. He loved him. And out of this love, he acted. It was not just sentiments or just feelings. It was sacrificial love. See what he has done. He went to him and bound up his wounds properly by his clothes, something that he had, pouring an oil and wine on him, trying to help him, using the wine as disinfectant. He took him to an inn, and surprisingly, he took care of him. He just did not put him to the inn and just left, gave the money and left. He spent the night with him, trying to help him, trying to save him in this very critical situation. He even went to a kind of an open monetary relationship with the innkeeper, saying, whatever it takes, I will pay you back. He's not showing off. He's not doing this because he's expecting that this guy will pay him back. He doesn't know him. He doesn't know what will happen later. He just loved him. Without waiting for anything. Sacrificial love. Being exposed to danger. Giving from his own money. Whatever it takes, I will help this man. Because he had compassion. So his pity was not just a feeling. It was expressed in sacrificial love. As we listen to this story, and as the Jews were listening to this story, as the lawyer was listening to this story, they would expect that the one who would help the one in need is a Jewish guy. The story would have made maybe a better sense if the injured guy is a Samaritan and the one who helped him is a Jew. The Jews would expect this. The Jews are the better people. But surprisingly, the one who helped was the Samaritan. And the one who received the help was the Jewish person. It was not the Levi, not the priest. And the one who helped was not even a lay person, a Jewish person, a Samaritan. So it's not about your religious place or whether you are a pastor or an elder or a deacon or from this family or that family. It's about who you really are. About your heart. Do you love the others? Those who are different. Those who are, by that time standards, enemies. The Samaritans were the enemies. And those enemies are helping the Jewish person. What a surprise. But this was not the biggest surprise in the scene. I kept for many years reading this parable in a wrong way. I kept thinking all the time about the question, who is my neighbor? Thinking, who deserves my help? Who is the neighbor that I should help? And this was the question that the lawyer asked. Very bad question. But Christ turned this question upside down. He did not answer his question, who is the people that you should help? As if he's saying, well, even if a Samaritan is injured, you should help him. This was not Jesus' answer. Or this was not Jesus' question to the lawyer. After he finished the parable, he said this. Verse 36. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? So the question is not, who is my neighbor? The question is, are you a neighbor? Are you a neighbor? The question is not, who deserves my help? The question is, who you are? What kind of person are you? Are you like the Samaritan? Jesus was not asking about the person to be helped. Jesus asked about the person who helped. Are you a neighbor? It's not about the one who deserves my love. The question is, do you have this kind of love? Do you love the people no matter who they are? What decides your actions? The people around you or who you are? There is no qualification that makes us treat people in mercy and love. We are not seeking certain qualifications, certain criteria. We don't seek those who look like us, dress like us, talk like us. If we do this, we are like the Jews who hated the Samaritans, like this Levi and the priest. The Samaritan didn't know the person. He didn't know his name. He didn't know what he's going to do with him later on, if he's going to pay him back or not. He just saw a person in need, helpless. And he loved him. He had compassion. And he helped him sacrificially. This is because of who he is. He had compassion. And only those who understand and see the love of God can have compassion. Open with me Romans chapter 5. This is the only way to be a Samaritan. This is the only way to be a neighbor. In Romans chapter 5, and verse 5, the second half of verse 5. Paul is saying, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, and the word weak literally means while we were still helpless. Helpless. Cannot help each other, cannot help ourselves. Cannot be raised, cannot do anything that can save us from a certain death, physical and spiritual death, forever, while we were still weak, helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, for his enemies. Not just a normal enemy, not just an enemy between the Samaritan and the Jew, the worst enemy that you can ever think of. He died for his enemies while they were still sinners, helpless. He was way greater than the Good Samaritan. Not just sacrificing his time, risking his life, paying money to bring him to the inn, caring for him. But he even died. He gave his own life for these enemies, for us. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, his compassion. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you taste this love, If you experience this love deep in your heart, if you understand what does it mean that we are his enemies, and how great he is. He's not just like us, someone in the image of God. He's God himself. Righteous, holy, and we are sinful, hating people, enemies, despising him, hating his creation, hating his creatures, killing each other, cursing each other, very self-centered. These enemies, these dead people, these undeserving people, he died for them. If you see this, if this heart is poured in your heart, if this love is poured in your heart, this is the only way that you may love your neighbor. This was the only way to love each other. We can only love because we have been loved. We love him because he loved us first. And we love each other because he loved us first. Apart from this gospel, people just kill each other. They seek the opportunity to eliminate each other. Only through this neighbor, through Christ, we are enabled to be a neighbor. And now going back to Luke chapter 10. It begins with a question. And Christ answered the question at the end. In verse 25, the lawyer came and asked, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And in verse 37, Christ answered. He said, Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise. Do like the Good Samaritan. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Do like the Samaritan." Well, we know that we do not inherit eternal life by our deeds, but by what we do. We inherit eternal life because of who we are in Christ. He did this because he was a neighbor. The important question that Christ asked in this text, who do you think proved to be a neighbor? The neighbor will inherit eternal life. The true neighbor will inherit eternal life. Not because of what he does or what she does. Because of who she is or who he is. Because of what they have been or that they have become in Christ. They are the sons of the kingdom. They are the daughters of the kingdom. They will act as the Samaritan out of compassion. It became normal. It became natural. Fruit of the Spirit. And why? Because they have seen the love of the great neighbor, the one who loved us while we were still sinners and enabled us to love him and to love the others. So the question that I will leave with you is, are you a neighbor? Are you a neighbor? If you are a neighbor, you will do likewise. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you because while we are still sinners, Christ died for us, died for his enemies, those who hated him, the helpless, those who were in bondage to sin and Satan. You are the one who did not spare your only begotten Son, but gave him for sinners and enemies like us. Open our eyes on this great love by which you loved us so that we may love you and love our neighbors as ourselves. In Christ's name we pray.